And the sisters in London were worried about her as she prepared to cross the Atlantic for the 23rd time. So they decided to surprise her by buying her a ticket on the newest ocean liner, which promised to deliver her to New York in record time and in greater comfort. But Mother Cabrini, her mind was on other things. A new problem had arisen, you see, in the mother house in Italy, finances again. And although the travel plans were made, and although all of her bags were packed, and there were any number of things that she wanted and in fact needed to accomplish in New York, it was this new unforeseen problem that weighed on her heart. After 42 years of religious life, Frances Xavier Cabrini already knew well what it meant to take up her cross, deny herself, and to follow the Lord. For her, these were not merely concepts or reflections for meditation, but this was the shape of her life, built over time by concrete actions and concrete decisions, inspired by her desire to imitate in all things the virtues of the heart of Christ. And so she went to Italy instead. The life and example of St. Frances Xavier Cabrini helps us to enter deeply in today's gospel reading. The passage opens with a vista of everyday living, eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. Not, however, as the context for the announcement of the kingdom, as we might suppose, but as a contrast to the life on high with Christ. The gospel is a warning to disregard all earthly and temporal matters and to look rather to our final end. And it sounds a rather stark note in the face of the primordial temptation to mistake the things and the cares of this world, those things which do occupy and fill up our everyday life, as being of ultimate importance, as if this world were all that there is. Still, the warning, "Remember the wife of Lot," need not sound so ominous if we see the totality demanded by Christian discipleship as anticipated and in fact perfected in the totality of Christ's self-gift of love to the Father for the church. Lot's wife looked back. She was saved. She had been rescued by a rather singular act of God through the prophets. And yet, that looking back figuratively captures an attitude of her heart which prefers the pleasures and vices of an older way of living to the new relationship of love that God was forging. The foolishness of Lot's wife is in her clinging to what is familiar, what is comfortable, and what is well-worn. The human experience of love is terrifying enough, as it pushes us beyond these comfort zones in order to embrace the reality, the totality of another person. But the totality of divine love, unencumbered by sin and human frailty, is so free and so generous and so unreserved and so generative that it calls forth and even enables a response of love marked by these very same attributes. And that kind of loving is often anything but comfortable. Yes, I suppose for Lot's wife, as also for us, setting aside those earthly things with which we have long contented ourselves may in fact feel like setting aside a very part of our life. But that is, of course, the paradox of faith. It is only in setting aside these encumbrances, in the so-called spiritual dying to self, that we realize the things to which we are most often attached do not actually constitute our life. Do not make that life more meaningful. It is the love of God that is offered in their place, which is infinitely more authentic and propels us deeper into the abundant life in Christ Jesus. St. Francis Xavier Cabrini was a veritable tornado of activity in her missionary endeavors. She crossed the Atlantic 25 times in pursuit of the gospel in an age when a single crossing was more than most could ever dream of. But hers was no empty or frenetic activity, and nor were the myriad activities of her daily life simply the earthly contentment of doing things for the sake of getting them done. Hers was a missionary spirituality developed within her religious institute, which begins and ends with contemplating the mystery of our Lord's Sacred Heart. The more that she made her own the virtues and the attitudes of the heart of Christ, the more that she was able to understand human hearts and respond to them. The more that she surrendered herself to the patience, to the humility, to the mercy, to the passion, to the courage of the heart of Christ, well, she certainly did not fade away into the background, but she became an ever more effective evangelist, an ever more competent administrator, and an ever more wise mother to her sisters. In the language of the gospel, she gave her life in allowing the love and the life of Christ to envelop her, to form her, and to radiate through her. It was for her a daily experience of dying, so that the total love of Jesus would rise, and she could abandon herself in obedience to the will of the Eternal Father, not as a concept, not as an object of meditation, but in the concrete and in the practical, often without the consolation of understanding, and when it seemed that that will of the Father was contrary to her own fondest ideals. In losing her life in this way, she saved it. And here we touch the great insight of our faith. The more we allow ourselves to be conformed to Christ in the sacraments and in the dynamic perfection of religious consecration, we become not something else or someone else, but we are made most authentically ourselves, as God made us, in His own image and likeness. Foolishly, we fear the stripping away demanded by our consecrated discipleship, and we are tempted to look back on all the things we may lose. We have nothing to lose but sin. And in Him, in Christ, we have everything to gain. The foundress was tired. The sisters in London were worried for her health, so they decided to surprise her with a ticket on the newest ocean liner, which promised to deliver her to New York in record speed and in greater comfort. But God's providence intervened, and Mother Cabrini surrendered herself once again to her apostolic duties, which meant postponing a long-planned trip to New York, even at the last minute. And so Sister went to cancel the ticket, admittedly touched with a bit of regret, because not only did the surprise go awry, well, it was fun to think about Mother being able to travel on the newest ship that everyone in England was talking about. I mean, after reading so much about it in the newspapers, who wouldn't want to travel to New York on the RMS Titanic?